I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting in the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Here.
Mr. Stoneroff?
Here.
Mr. Gary?
Here.
Mr. Mead?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Over here. A pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Move to section B, approval of meeting agenda.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the meeting agenda for this regular meeting of the Madison Plains Local School District Board of Education for Tuesday, October 15, 2024, be approved as presented.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stoneroff?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to section C, student recognition.
Thank you, Mr. President. Excuse me. Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to ask Leland Snyder to come up to the podium. Sure. Okay. Yeah, that's the place of honor tonight, Leland. So.
Thank you.
The London Rotary Club is pleased to honor senior student Leland Snyder as a student of the month from Madison Plains High School for the month of October. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Leland has a 3.3 grade point average and his favorite course is concert band. During his time in high school, Leland has been involved in marching band for 3 years, where he has received recognition as being the outstanding sophomore and the outstanding junior. He is also the captain of the brass section. In addition to this, Leland has been on the quick recall team for 3 years. When asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires him, Leland picked MPHS music teacher Ms. Cole. Leland said Ms. Cole inspires him because she just does so much for the entire music program. Regarding Leland, Ms. Cole said, "Leland is a fantastic student and a wonderful human being. This is my second year having him in my classes, and as a music teacher, it is a joy to have students from year to year. He is a hard worker and demonstrates copious amounts of initiative and care within the music program, and I can see how those character traits weave their way into his everyday life. Leland is often one of the first to help problem solve. He sticks with some of his peers to help staff set up and tear down from the events, and has an incredible, infectious laugh that will give anyone a smile. Whatever the future holds for him, I cannot wait to see what is in store and to cheer him on as he continues to grow." Excuse me. After graduation, Leland plans to go to college for music education and jazz studies. Leland is the son of Justin Snyder and Sarah Sloan, and he is the grandson of Carol Snyder. And so Leland, we would just like to say congratulations to you on the record of accomplishment that you have built. Well done. We certainly wish you all the best in your future and encourage you to keep up the great work, okay? So well done. And I have a certificate here for you, so I will bring that to you as well. But well done. Congratulations.
Good job.
Move to section D, employee recognition.
And Mr. President, for the honor of introducing our employee of the month, I would like to turn the microphone over to Mr. Miller and Mrs. Adamczak.
Good evening.
Good evening.
So it is our honor and privilege to recognize Shelley Krieger for our staff recognition. Shelley Krieger has been a secretary here at Madison Plains Local Schools for 18 years. She began her career at Midway Elementary and is now primarily responsible for the K-3 side of the K-6 building. On Friday, October 4th, we had to dismiss early due to losing power district-wide. Shelly happened to be the only secretary working in the office that afternoon, and she handled all facets of that atypical dismissal with patience and grace. She assisted bus drivers, car line requests, and teacher questions, as well as parent phone calls as quickly as possible, which allowed for all of our students to get home from school safely. The following Friday, we had a school-wide pep rally at the end of the day, and the office was faced with the task of assisting with a smooth dismissal, which included an increased amount of parent pickups since they attended the pep rally. Shelly had a dental appointment and was scheduled to be absent in the afternoon. Instead of taking the rest of the afternoon off after her appointment, she came back to school to assist in the office. This is a prime example of Shelly being a team player and helping out wherever needed. We are so grateful to Shelly for her dedication to our school and doing all she can to ensure the safety and well-being of our students. Thank you, Shelly.
Thank you.
For your continued dedication and support of Madison Plains. We really appreciate everything you do, Shelly.
Thank you.
Thank you. Respectfully, myself and Mrs. Appetack.
Ms. Krieger would like to say thank you for your service. We so appreciate it. I have a certificate for you as well.
Thank you for having us.
Mr. Mason, that is all we have this evening for student recognition and employee recognition. Of course, those who are here for student and employee recognition are welcome to go at this time.
All right. So we'll move to Section E, the first public communication session. Has anyone signed up?
No.
Okay. So now we'll move to Section F, board work session. Do you have anything?
Is there scheduling we have to take care of?
Yes. Sorry, were you?
Yeah, this would be a good time to discuss the schedule if you want to.
And I think for me, if we didn't have to make that shift, just if it worked for people, then that'd be great.
Remind me what day it is.
This is for the November.
November 12th is the date of the meeting.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. I thought it was the 19th.
I have the 19th.
You have the 19th. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, forgive me. Forgive me. Maybe I was thinking we could have it on the 12th.
Yeah, that would be great if that, I mean, again, if the rest of the group is good for that, we don't need to make that change. But if the 12th works or a different night, that'd be great.
I'm good.
For the 12th?
November 12th.
I'm good with the 12th.
That is the second day of Capitol Conference.
Oh.
Sorry.
But it's usually done during the day that day, right? You're just saying to make a long day.
Logistically, that'll be difficult on Mr. Mustine and I.
If you guys are good with it, we can stay the 19th, and that'll just be one that I'll have to sit out.
Right.
I'm good with that.
That works for me.
That would be a long day.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, the only thing on that meeting, we do have the five-year forecast, so just make sure you get a copy of it and we can review it as well.
So we're staying with the 19th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Nothing else? We'll move to Section G, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I make the motion that the minutes of the regular meeting on September 17, 2024 be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinkes?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section 8, Department Reports.
And Mr. Mason, it is my pleasure to be able to introduce to you our Director of Teaching and Learning, Ms. Karen Kreitz. Ms. Kreitz is going to walk us through a more in-depth report on the state report card. I provided an overview last month, but Ms. Kreitz is going to walk us through something much more in depth. And Ms. Kreitz, I just want to say thank you very much for taking the time to be with us, for preparing the report, and just thank you for being here.
I'm going to talk a little bit tonight about the state report card, as Mr. Eisler just mentioned. Am I picking up okay? All right. There is a lot of similarity between this year's report card and last year's report card for us. So much so that I didn't change the slides that much. This is a quick glance of our report card that you see up here on the screen. And it's showing that we earned a 3.5 star rating again this year, as we did last school year. We earned 4 stars in both achievement and gap closing, 3 stars for the progress measure and early literacy, and then also for graduation, which was an improvement for us from last year. Just to give you that side-by-side comparison there, I'm probably in your way. That side-by-side comparison there, you can see all of those star ratings stayed the same with the exception of graduation. Our graduation rate increased quite a bit, and so we were able to gain another star there. However, that still only translates to 3.5 stars. And why? Well, there are actually numbers behind each of those star ratings. Star ratings come within a range. So if you want to look there at the numbers that the translation happens, when they average out each of those 5 components to become an overall score, the achievement component and the progress component both count twice as much as gap closing, graduation, and early literacy. You can see from our scores on our state tests that we got the exact same point value in achievement last year, this year as we did last year, exact same point value for progress. Our gap closing measure actually dropped a little, it dropped by 0.25, but our graduation rate increased quite a bit, and so did our early literacy rate. So we see, you know, some significant changes there. When they average that out, you can see our overall rating did increase. The point value that is assigned, it did increase a bit. And we are very close to that 4-star rating. We had an overall score of 3.072, and it takes a 3.125. So my first question, I'm sure many other people's first question is, what could we have done to get that little bit? How could we have gotten there? So looking at that, you know, we celebrate our achievements with graduation and early literacy, but we also want to need to dig into why did our gap closing drop? When we take a look at gap closing, we can see that actually we were getting the same points in the gap closing measurement for both achievement and growth as we had in previous years. Our graduation rate gave us an extra boost there. We got 3 extra points there than we did before. Our gifted stayed the same as last year, but our chronic absenteeism rate went down. It went down so much, or actually it increased so much, I should say. The year prior, we had 16% of our students were considered chronically absent from school, and this year it went up to 22.5%. That's the equivalent of about 50 students across our district who, 50 additional students across our district who were considered chronically absent from school. And that led to us losing 5 points. Wow. On gap closing. So even though we were making up points with graduation, we lost significantly because of chronic absenteeism. It was not anything that happened at any one building or any one grade level or age. It was across all buildings that we saw this happen, and it happened on each of the individual building report cards as well. Consequently, we only earned 22 out of 45 points. Had we not lost those 5 points this year that we had last year, we would have gotten a 60% for gap closing, and that would have translated to a 5-star rating in gap closing. And then, if I remind you of this slide here, where I show you those point values, when we look at that again, that with those extra 5 points, had we not lost points in chronic absenteeism, we would have, our gap closing score would have been a 4.25, our overall rating would have been a 3.178, and that would have been enough to have a 4-star rating. So I bring that up because little things matter. Things that we don't think about matter in our overall rating. And in this case, chronic absenteeism is that one piece that if we had changed, we would have been up to that 4-star rating. So I think it's important also for you, for others, to understand what is chronic absenteeism, okay? So there's a lot of different attendance measures that get thrown around. One of them is the ADA, the average daily attendance rate. It's not about any one student. It's on any given day, what's our average attendance? How many students are here at school? And we can use that data to look at, are there times in the year that maybe our ADA is really low, and we need to consider what can we do for those particular times of year to improve attendance on those days. But really, that doesn't get down to the heart of just an individual student. Chronic absenteeism is not about truancy. Truancy is only counting unexcused absences, right? It has an emphasis on compliance with the rules, with making sure parents who maybe are not very good at bringing their kids to school are bringing their kids to school. But that's still not what chronic absenteeism is. Chronic absenteeism actually counts all absences. Excused absences, unexcused absences, suspensions, tardies, orthodontist appointments, vacation days, all of those things, they're lumped into chronic absenteeism. And the reason the state is putting such a big emphasis on that in our report cards is, of course, because missed days, missed times matter. And they're pushing the benefit of being present at school. And that means for us as administrators, as a district, we need to look at problem-solving techniques and how can we cultivate an environment where families understand the importance of bringing their students to school every day and how that translates to how we engage those families as well. I am not standing here saying this as somebody who is lecturing to other parents, because I'm a parent too, and I'm just as guilty as other folks about this. You know, I reflect on my own child. You know, when you see that, you have to reflect on your own children's absences, and I immediately reflected on my own child's absences and realized just how much all those minutes start to add up, all those orthodontist appointments, all those times that I was kicking him to get out of bed and he was getting here a minute or two late to school, you know, everything. And you don't see it coming. Chronic absenteeism is one of those things where maybe you don't see it coming because they're not absent day after day after day after day. It's little pieces that continue to add up. So that's something that we really just need to raise awareness with our families about. You can go to the Ohio Attendance Guide and read all about it, but you're considered chronically absent if you miss 10% of the school year, okay, at any point for any reason. So that's the equivalent of missing just 2 days a month. That can lead to chronic absenteeism. 10% of the school year is the same as 18 days of absence. Of course, we count absences in minutes now, not just days. So all of those little things adding up. Students who miss 2 to 4 days in September are actually 5 times more likely to be chronically absent throughout the school year. And it's so easily looked because it can be sporadic. It can be, you know, they've already missed so many days because of orthodontist appointments, doctor's appointments, those kinds of things. And then you add on five days out for a vacation, and you add on all those times they were tardy or the times that they were sick. And that starts to really add up in how much school they're missing, which of course we know the more they're here at school, the more likely they are to achieve more likely they are to show growth, and that all just kind of comes back around. Certainly, you know, this isn't about any one child or any child who has a long-term illness or anything like that, because obviously we had 50 additional students this year. It's just all those little things that continue to add up, and we need to look at our policies, our attendance policies. We need to look at what kinds of public relations campaign we can put together to encourage people to stay in school, those kinds of things. So that's just something that we're going to have to continue to look at. We're going to have to look at the reasons why they are absent and what misconceptions parents may have about attendance as well. Just to give you a few highlights from the rest of the report card, like I mentioned before, achievement looks on the surface that it is the same. It's still that same 4-star rating. It's actually still had that same numerical value that I mentioned previously. There are some things to know about that. That 4-star rating means that we are exceeding the state's expectations in academic achievement. We had multiple subject areas who got to the point where they had at least 80% or more of their students who passed the test. We actually doubled the number of subject areas, or more than doubled the number of subject areas where we had 80% or more students pass. Unfortunately, even though we doubled in those areas, we actually have a lower score in achievement than we did the previous year, because that's not what achievement is based on anymore. You know, you can go back in the day and you can look through where they listed every test there was, and they gave you a green star or a big red X if you didn't get 80% of your kids to pass. Achievement isn't based on that at all anymore. It's based on how high your students score on those tests. So even though we're doubling the numbers of kids or number of tested areas where we're getting 80%, that's actually, we're not seeing a translation there to improved achievement. Because actually you can look at that and you can see that we only had a few subjects where we had 50% or more of our students score accelerated and advanced. That's how you improve your achievement. The more kids that score in the accelerated and advanced categories, not just whether or not they are proficient. So kudos, 4th, 5th grade, 7th and 8th grade ELA, they had more than 50% of their students score accelerated or advanced. And so we need to be looking at our achievement measure in that way. And how can we push more and more subject areas to do that same thing? Progress, our progress measure looks very much like it did last year. I will say that we saw significant growth, significant progress in both 7th and 8th grade ELA from last year. We saw big improvements there. And then we have many areas that are exceeding the state expectations for growth. In fact, they are exceeding at the highest levels. So that, again, that's 4th grade ELA, 6th grade math, biology, English 2, and American history. So we want to, you know, really shout out to all of those teachers who are pushing their kids to reach their full potential, because all of that growth really does help. And I will say that actually while we did have a 3-star rating, again, our high school actually reached a 4-star rating in this area. And so that they should be commended for their work in that as well. Graduation. If you look at the graph there, you can see we saw a great big increase in our graduation rate. We had an increase of 6.1% from the class of 2022 to the class of 2023. So that graduation rate, I know I remind you of this every year, it's not based on our most recent graduating class. It's always the one before that. But we did see a 6% increase there, which means we're now meeting state expectations with graduation. And we were just a smidgen below making that graduation rate a 4-star rating. So that's something important to point out. Finally, the early literacy component is a measure of reading improvement and proficiency for students in kindergarten through 3rd grade. We saw an overall increase of 3% in this area. Improving literacy is when they look at what students were not on track the year before, and how many of those students did you move to on track the next year. We saw a 6.8% increase in that. In other words, what that means is of the 103 students who were not on track in September of 2022, 45 of them were now on track by September of 2023. And that's a big movement, especially when you think how young those students are and that most of those students are needing to achieve more than a year and sometimes 2 years of growth to get back on track. So a lot of, you know, a lot of hard work was done in our elementary school for that. So that's kind of an overview of what was on our report card. And certainly there's much more to discuss, and we'll be discussing as administration and our district leadership team and so on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Kreitz, thank you so much for the report. We certainly do appreciate it. And we're proud of our staff for the results that we got. We know, though, that we are not where we want to be, and so the goal is to continue to improve. So we will work to do that.
Move to Section I, Superintendent's Committee Reports.
Mr. Mason, there are no committee reports this evening.
Let's move to Section J, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. I have two items for you. I have our September monthly financial statements. Hopefully you've had a chance to review those. And then I have our amended appropriations. We had to amend appropriations earlier right now this year because we received some additional grant funds with a CTE grant, a career tech grant, to purchase some equipment in partnership with Tolls. So in order to utilize those funds, we have to appropriate those funds. So that's part of the amended appropriations here. As far as the financial statements go, I have a PowerPoint presentation that I'm going to try real quick. It's not long. And see how that works. It correlates with our monthly financial report, just a different way to look at it. This is our 2024-2025 fund balance and budget analysis. It's for the fiscal year start through September 2024. We have our operating fund summary. We began the year with $7.8 million. We've received $6.8 million of revenue fiscal year to date. So far, we've spent $4.5 million in expenditures, and our current balance is $10.1 million. That's up $2.2 million from the start of the year. So again, we have a battling effect, though, so that's not necessarily the true picture. It's just the timing of our revenue compared to the timing of our expenditures. Percentage of annual revenue, we've received 37% of our budgeted revenue, and we're 25% through the year, as far as months completed. So we've received more revenue than what we've expected. That'll be updated as with the November forecast. That's largely due to the additional property taxes received due to the higher than expected valuation increases. So revenue received through September totals $6.8 million of the annual budgeted total of $18.6 million. The amount of budgeted revenue remaining is $11.8 million. So that's what we have left to collect, this $11.8 million. Expenditures were much more close than revenue as far as being on budget. Expenditures through September total $4.5 million of the annual budgeted total of $17.7 million, with a remaining amount to spend of $13.2 million. That's 26% of our expected expenditures that we've spent so far, and again, we're 25% through the year. So fairly on track. Point out a couple of reasons why the revenue and the expenditures are a little more than the time through the year. So here in a second. Total revenues, again, through September, revenue is up $943,000 compared to last year. That's a 16% increase. You see there on the right, $777,000 of that is local sources. That's that property tax revenue increase. The other amount is state sources, $165,000. So that's the homestead and rollback that's tied to that local property tax revenue increase, and also slight increases in state funding. Expenditures, through September, expenditures are up $582,000 compared to last year, a year-over-year change of 15%. You'll see here the largest part of that is in all other. That has to do with our curriculum adoption, that we did that was around $300,000, as well as our Chromebook purchase that was around $98,000 that happened at a different time. We try to do that. We are trying to get on track to do that Chromebook order before the summer. That way we can have the new Chromebooks in before the school year starts. This order, we made the purchase after July 1, so we're going to have to try and get that on track so we get it in purchased like in May or June. But that's the largest portion. There is that $415,000. Salaries and benefits are up $189,000. That's largely due to just normal increases, cost of living increases and step increases per the agreement, as well as we've added some positions back that we are now fully staffed, whereas we were going without before some unfilled positions. Total revenues for the month of September, so this is just the month of September, just month to date compared to September of last year. Revenues up $139,000. You see that's that state sources. That's the homestead and rollback. That's when we received it this year, was in September. That's a 14% increase compared to last year. And then the same thing for expenditures. This is a September month to date, so September this year compared to September last year. Expenditures are up $34,000 or 2%. So that's your cost of living increases, step increases. Because you see, that's really the only area that's up. All other is only $8,300 up. So then our projected, the current budget shows that for fiscal year 2025, revenue exceeds expenditures, which is what we want to see. And the district's fund balance will increase $881,000 compared to last year. The June 30th, 2025 fund balance represents approximately 180 days of cash on hand. So that's a healthy financial budget or financial general fund, and actually we're trending slightly better than that. So the budgeted 2025 fund balance was expected to be 8.7. It's actually trending 169,000 higher, so that's around 8.9 million. So that's the monthly report presented slightly different way through a PowerPoint presentation. It's been converted to a PDF here, but if we like that, I'll kind of keep massaging that out and seeing how it works. Otherwise, I can go back to the traditional monthly report presentation.
I think that looks good.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's straightforward.
Yeah.
Any questions? No. There aren't any questions. That concludes my report.
Okay. Mr. President, I make the motion that upon the recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items J4 through J5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Steinrock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mead?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section K, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Just a few items in terms of discussion items this evening. Would just like to remind everyone that the Madison Plains Local School District is on the ballot here this fall. The election is Tuesday, November 5th, 2024, and the purpose of us being on the ballot is to fund a new K-8 building on the campus of MPLSD. So that is the question before the community. The total project cost is $56,599,478, and the OFCC is contributing 15% of the co-funded amount, which equals $6,724,182. The district is contributing $11 million should it pass. The bond amount then, as a result of all of that, is $38,875,296. It is important to note that the United States Department of Agriculture, through their Rural Development Office, is offering us financing on the bond, or on the bonds rather, at 3.625%. And so that is a very advantageous rate. Our original millage was 9.9. Through the USDA financing, that brought our millage request down to 8.6 mils. The district contributed amount brought it down to 7.5 mils. And then due to the property tax reevaluation, the millage request dropped to 5.4 mils on the third attempt. Now, due to the changes in the scope of the project, the contribution that the district has made and the additional contribution from the state. Our current millage request is 4.3 mils, and that equates to $151 per $100,000 of the county auditor's appraised value. So just wanted to provide that information and information only for those who are listening to our board meeting this evening. We are on the ballot on November 5th.
Mr. Eisler, can I point out one more thing?
Yes.
Just to piggyback on a lot of what you're saying there. A lot of the information, all of the information that Mr. Eisler is talking about is actually on our website, along with a lot of other additional information regarding the facts surrounding the upcoming bond issue. So if you go to our website, Find It Fast, and New Facilities Fast Facts, you'll see there's plenty of good information. You have the breakdown of the millage. You have the area tax rates. You have the mailer that was recently sent out by the district with facts surrounding the district. You have our definition of the exceptional needs program, why we are in that program and what that means. You also have our notice of conditional approval from the OFCC, which specifies how they came to our co-funded percentage and the amount of square footage for the project. As well as some additional enrollment information in there as well. And then you have some area tax comparisons about where we would stand currently and where we would stand if the issue were to pass or if it were to stay the same. You have some examples from the OFCC of other project examples out there. And then you also have like a sample ballot if you want to see what the ballot looks like. So I just want to take that opportunity to point that out there. Anybody looking for facts around the issue or some additional information, feel free to go right to our website there under the Find It Fast.
Mr. President, the second item that I have under discussion items this evening is just a reminder that the Ohio School Boards Association Capitol Conference is Sunday, November 10th through Tuesday, November 12th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. As I've noted before, it is one of the largest education trade shows in the country. There are many sessions and valuable topics that enhance the work of school districts. If anyone is interested in attending, please let Mr. Mustein and I know, and we will work to get you signed up. The only other item under discussion items this evening is the tolls report that is attached to your board packet and board docs.
Thank you. Now we'll move to Section L, Policy and Governance.
Mr. Mason, forgive me. Mrs. Jarvis provided us with some muffins and some coffee. I may need a cup of coffee before we go in here. We only have two items in Policy and Governance this evening. One is and they're both the two items that were before the board last month for a first reading. The first is approval of a board policy for a therapy dog. And then the second one is policy GCBC2, which deals with largely there's a change for some of our 260-day administrators in terms of vacation leave. Those policies are unchanged from last month. So there are the policies that are before the board this evening. There have been no changes since last month.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve policy and governance items L2 and L3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section M, Business.
Mr. President, there are no business items for this evening.
All right, move to Section N, Personnel.
And a few personnel items this evening. We have a motion to correct a motion. We had thought that somebody was going to be willing to do a stipend for us, and that person is not willing to do that. And so just correcting a motion there. We are accepting the resignation of a basketball coach at the junior high level, and then we have some supplemental contracts, both academic and co-curricular, as well as athletic and non-co-curricular before the board this evening.
Okay. Mr. President, I make the recommendation that upon the recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve personnel items N2 through N4.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section O, donations.
We have a few donations before the board this evening from a few different sources, but there are $950 being donated for the Golden Threads and Food Fund. And so we are grateful to all of those who have donated. We want to say thank you to them. Much appreciated and a very important and worthy cause. So thank you to those who have donated.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following donation as stated below.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Move to Section P, new business. Anyone have anything new? I do think it's worth thanking the students that provided the food for us tonight and their teacher. I appreciate that. All right, so next we move to Section Q, public communication, the second section. Would anyone like to speak? All right, so move to Section R, executive session. I move that we enter into executive session at 7:41 for the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 1, to consider the employment of a public employee.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Zinikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Meade?
Yes.
Mr. Gary?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're in executive session.
The next meeting, regularly scheduled meeting, is Tuesday, November 19th, 7 p.m. here in the high school library. There'll be no action taken after the executive session.